gonna regroup, restart, and then we're just waiting for some people to get to their seats. And Susan, you're gonna lead this, huh? Oh, both of you. Okay. Do we have one new person here? We have one new person here too. Do we need to? Was she here?
I never managed to get on Wi-Fi.
So, just before, I think we have one new person that came in. Do you want to introduce yourself? Were there any others? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Here you go, ma'am.
Do you want to introduce yourself?
Some introductions at the beginning. Here you go.
Just so everybody knows.
I want to turn around and at least look at people.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, Alex.
And then who's back there?
Alex.
Okay. Oh, wow. A whole big bunch of people.
Thank you. And then we have one other, and then we'll. Thank you so much.
Hi, I'm Alex Page. I'm a service planner with Ride Connection. I don't have a good excuse as to why I'm late. It was flipped.
Elaine will mark it. I'm just kidding. She gave me a dirty look.
All right, folks, how was that? Evan, all your table discussion leaders did okay? Should we give them a hand? Thank you, everyone. What a rich group, so much knowledge in this room. So we want to hear from you. We want to hear how it went. We do have about a half an hour to share. We don't have to take all that time, but we'd like to hear from each table facilitator kind of how it went on their table, and then if other participants have anything to add, please do, just as long as we keep, I'll keep kind of general timeline for about 5 minutes per table. So we don't have to take that long. Jake, I'm coming to you with a microphone. So let's start with the green table. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I was promised that we would be the troublemakers. It ended up being really polite and cordial, so. So the first question on here, was there a central issue or opportunity from the group? I couldn't really narrow it down to just one, but two really stood out. One was need for better weekend service, especially outlying areas of the region. And then the other was better coordination between the region's various systems and service providers, including transportation providers. There's a lot of missed opportunities, I think we felt like, where there could be better coordination to better serve the people who need those services. Areas of disagreement, I think I liked the ginger snaps the best, and Raisa liked the chocolate chip, so I don't know if that's resolvable. But yeah, it was a great discussion, and we're gonna solve the world's problems, so we're enthusiastic.
Can I ask a question? Yeah. So for weekend service, was there any particular focus on fixed route versus demand response or just in general?
I think we talked about both.
Okay.
But the one area of specificity was particularly in outlying areas.
Okay, thanks.
So who ended up being purple? We had a merger.
A merger.
No acquisition, so we had a merger. I think it was a friendly
merger. Yeah, okay, so you ended up being purple and yellow.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what color that makes, but here you go.
It's a combo color. We had a very a large group in the end. We were about 12 people around the table, but it made for a very rich discussion. So I'll go through some of the main ideas that we had here as I flip through all of my papers. In terms of opportunities, speaking about some of the current unmet needs and challenges, There was a lot of talk about the coordination and training, specifically for training for individuals that are disabled, but also training for individuals that suffer from mental or cognitive disabilities. So having better coordination in that, those two types of training, which can be quite different sometimes for drivers and transit providers. Regarding transportation service, there was note about pretty low transportation service in Banks and North Plains. There is the Tillamook Wave that connects the coast through Portland, but we did note that there's quite a significant amount of seniors that live in those areas that are currently not very well served by their transportation options. There's also, we noted that Boring was recently, is no longer in the TriMet service district anymore. So that was a recent change that seemed to change the landscape a little bit there. Moving on, I guess I'm gonna just maybe mention a few quick notes that I think really spoke to the group, but we had a bit of an aha moment at one point when we were talking about the coordination and organization piece, and there was some talk about the service, the 211 service, and I know that Dan Herman is here from 211. And Jeff had a really interesting comment about how 211 just has access to so many different resources, and one of the biggest, you know, opportunities and really important elements in our region is that we have so many different resources, but having access and understanding what all those different resources can be quite confusing and challenging and difficult to wade through. So there was this aha moment of maybe 211 or service similar to that could be kind of this major clearinghouse in terms of being able to connect people to all the different resources out there, whether it's the areas for aging and disability services, whether it's mental health crisis centers. So that was a really big aha moment. Another interesting comment we had as well in terms of ideas and strategies, there's apparently in Eugene, there's a program called Cahoots, which is something, it's a service that you call, instead of calling the police, you call Cahoots if there's an issue involving individuals that have mental or cognitive disabilities that there's some sort of issue, and it's a resource line or kind of a helpline that you would call first before calling the police. And apparently it's a really successful crisis line that exists in Eugene right now. So there is that idea of, in terms of kind of calling for new innovative strategies to address issues here. That was one. And overall as well, one last thing is just the creation of partnerships, whether that's better, you know, we have the transit service providers, and then we have social service providers that connect their clients to medical appointments, and there just needs to be better coordination between those two providers so that that information can be relayed between the two organizations, and there's, people don't miss their medical appointments, and you have a list of who needs to go where, when, and so that there could be closer coordination and better partnerships between those different entities. So, sorry, I took a bit of time there, but... Okay, we had big group, so...
Jan. I just have a comment. I'm looking at Monica. I think she probably is in the same, and she's probably the best spokesperson for this. But there's also ADRC. That's what the ADRCs are, and they focus on people with disabilities and seniors. And it is a clearinghouse, and you can also pull it up on a website, or you can call us, and you might get to talk to me because I work on the helpline. But it's good to know that the information isn't out, but there is something there.
Right.
And that's statewide, and it's a wonderful resource. And I don't know, Monica, she's kind of my boss, or was my boss. She got promoted, so she should be the spokesperson, right? So, Monica, do you want to just add a little more, ma'am?
Well, I think besides the
helpline, we need to use the mic.
Besides the helpline, which is 24/7,
but it's all statewide.
We also have information and assistance specialists at all the senior centers in Multnomah County that are certified information and assistance, and that's through the ADRCofOregon.org. So that stands for Aging Disability Resource Connection of Oregon.org.
And they're set up a little different, but it's a statewide.
Right.
So it's in all the different counties.
Correct. And I think kind of piggybacking a bit on that, there was access to that kind of information. We had an idea about ideas of making that more universal. Right. There was talk in our discussion group about on all the TriMet buses or our, you know, on all the transit service provider fleet vehicles, some sort of standard contact information board that would provide basic phone numbers for, you know, health crisis hotlines, 211 info, just some sort of standard information table that was present on all vehicle fleet across the region. Right. So people, you know, whether you're witnessing something that's happening or someone needs quick access to a phone number to resolve an issue or troubleshoot something, that it was available to everyone. Yeah.
Perfect.
Thank you. Great, thank you. Okay, so our red table, we had a couple of different themes. One of the biggest themes that crossed every line of questioning had to do with first mile, last mile, and that there's a lot of need for infrastructure improvements associated with first mile and last mile, not only for sidewalks, but also can't forget the importance of the shelters and in particular, shelters with lighting. So first mile, last mile has infrastructure needs. It also has coordination needs to better coordinate some of the demand responsive or paratransit trips associated with first mile and last mile buffering from the fixed route transit. And that there's also kind of some needs for innovation and ideas on how to handle this first mile and last mile. One of the examples that came up was Kansas City, Kansas? Kansas City, Kansas, using services like Uber and Lyft, and the transit agencies are paying Uber and Lyft to help with the first mile and last mile. So definitely needed to look at innovative ideas there. Some specific focus areas for infrastructure in particular associated with first mile, last mile, all corridors really leading from urban areas to the rural areas. A lot of our older communities, some very specific ones came up, there were Loa and East Multnomah County. So some of the other themes associated with areas where we really need maybe some new specialized services, really need more to specifically address the needs for people with mental health issues or cognitive disabilities. The other subject area was medical transport and dialysis types of trips. And really the need for improved non-emergency medical services, and that whole type of service needs some serious improvement prior to really being in a position to continue improving the coordination with other services. Idea to reconstitute the RTCC was well-liked by all members of our group, to really use them as a coordinating committee to really help implement the updated plan. The RTC is Regional Transportation Coordination Committee. The other theme, funding, just needing it funding to be stable and there to be more of it so that we can plan services or bring back, restore services that have been cut. But the other, the discussion on fare assistance, one being a very great program right now, is identified in one of the successes of the transportation system, but also something that could use more funding, better systems for figuring out how are we prioritizing the funding that is available for fare assistance, but that being a great program that really needs to be built upon. And something that should be increased if there were more funding. And then on the technology side, there's definitely an interest in improving technology and trying to keep up with the type of technology that people are using so that we could have better ride match, better callbacks, you know, information about when the ride was going to arrive, and helping move towards more
on-demand service, but definitely recognizing the need that there will always be a need to maintain scheduled and subscription service, and that we really can't overlook that there's areas of the counties that don't have good cell phone service, don't have good data service, and that we need to make sure that any kind of system that we implement, that there's, you know, we're still covering our full bases of people that don't have adequate access to you know, technology and data service, even though they might want it. So that's, I think, the highlights of our group. Did I miss anything?
Good job.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Well, I'll go up there so people don't have to cram. Thanks. Okay, and thanks to the folks at the blue table for what I thought was a great discussion. I forgot that we had a whole 5 minutes, so I forced them to get down to one thing. So I'm going to call an audible and add just a little bit more. The one that we said it kind of made sense to flag has already been mentioned a little bit, which is that not everybody knows the services that are available. Not everybody understands how they overlap and coordinate. Not everybody knows even where to go to ask the questions. And so we talked about ways to make sure that we could better coordinate that, better get the information out, make sure that that information is not just on the web, even though, you know, the better it is on the web, the better for many people. But folks who don't have access, or folks who, an example was, after you've just been released from the hospital and you suddenly have transportation needs that you've never needed before, getting a flyer into their hands so they know who to call or where to go to find out. And to have that kind of information be constantly updated, because it's pretty easy to put it together once, but it's going to be just a few months in some cases before something is going to change, and so you have to kind of constantly keep that going. And we know there are efforts in that way, but it seemed like a need to further that, to continue that. And then the other one that I was going to mention, which I haven't heard yet, which is why I'm mentioning it, is specifically, at least I don't think I have, for folks who are have emotional or mental challenges with receiving service, and the sort of jarring nature of transportation, of the non-door through door through door kind of service. If there is additional sort of peer type training for operators or peers available to help people through those kinds of experiences of the transportation, that might be another thing to consider to kind of help cushion the negative experiences of the trips. Anything else we should add? Blue table. Question?
Is anybody a subject matter expert? Cell phones that it can be. There are cell phones you can dial 911 free.
Yeah.
Are there cell phones in which you can dial 211 free?
211 is a free call.
So since you're not on mic, I'm going to say the question was, is 211 a free call? And the answer was, yes, indeed, 211 is a free call on a cell phone. Great, thanks. Dion?
There's some of us that don't know what 211 stands for.
Dan, do you want to take just a moment? The question was, what is 211? What does it do? What does it stand for? Do you want to take 1 minute and describe?
211 is a statewide resource. We also do four counties in Southwest Washington. We do information referral across a whole range of health and human services. Think of it as a 911, but non-emergent. And we've got a database that has about 40,000 records in it. And then you can reach us website, telephone, text, email, and we just recently launched an app. Available in the Apple Store and the Google Play Store. And as a result of all the great contacts and information referral that we dispense of, then we get some great data findings that feed policy formulation, capacity decision, needs assessment type information. Yep.
Thanks. Blue table, anything else I should have mentioned? Great. All right. Go blue.
Hi, again, my name is Vanessa Vassar. I'm with TriMet, and a few of the highlights for our table, one was the need to better coordinate service with medical facilities, which has already been mentioned, but just to give some examples again, something that came up was to better coordinate around time or discharge, when hospitals discharge patients, making sure they have some sort of transportation available, so they're not left hanging, and then also a need to coordinate better around dialysis schedules to get people to where they need to go. An interesting suggestion came out of our group to provide more on or to provide an on-demand ride matching technology similar to what Uber does today, so people can access transit easier, more easily. And then let's see. I think this was a reoccurring theme that came up quite a bit, but the need for providing more fixed route service to rural areas and dedicating more funding to service in rural areas in general, because some of the providers are at capacity, and just better or continuing to coordinate around the e-fare that's coming up. And then lastly, Cora Potter is going to speak to the theme that came up quite a bit again, which was providing more community basin circulator service throughout the region.
Just one of the things I see that often come up is there's a spatial mismatch between where we have really well networked transit service and where lower income folks and older adults and people with disabilities are living now and probably will be living more in the future. So that we need to look at basically ensuring that we have a baseline of circulation within intra-community circulation in neighborhoods, much like having basically a Grove Link for every community, so that folks can get in and around. It's not always just about the mobility of moving them from Forest Grove to downtown Portland or Oregon City to, Advanced Medical Center. It's most people's day-to-day trips are going from their home to the grocery store or going from their home to the hair salon or going from their home to a nearby medical clinic. And just ensuring that baseline is available and that it's always there, that they can rely on it. And I think you can coordinate it in a way that it benefits it, lifts the whole community, much like Grove Link has done in Forest Grove. It's a general public service, but it really heavily benefits the older adults and people with disabilities. But everybody uses it. So. Thank you.
Great. Anything else? Orange table members? Still all right? Thank you. Okay, thanks, Vanessa. And Zachary, I think you're
last
but not least, especially not for pink. We need lots of that in this world. So here we go.
You can hold or place if you like.
It's going to be too low for a placement. I had a tremendous table, so thank you so much for all your really wonderful input. If I could summarize everything that was discussed during the last hour, I'd say really about the users, the people that really need the system. And if I could take it one step further and use a word that we came up often was bathrooms. And I think bathrooms came up in a number of our conversations. And if you think about it, in some ways, it really does speak to the users, whether we're talking about comfort, convenience, really focus on the individual and through all the categories, whether it's technology or additional service or coordination, it really comes down to that. And I'd also say with the bathrooms, and I don't want to sort of miss this point because it really did come up throughout our conversation, is that if you're waiting a long time for a dialysis center to open, or you're on a bus for 2 hours, or you're waiting for somebody to pick you up, or you need to eat, any of these things, really, that having that ability to use a restroom is really it's obviously a very personal issue, and it's really important. And I think that if you can think about bathrooms, again, to say that word, across all these different areas. It really came up quite a bit. A lot of things that we also discussed were said by other groups. I won't spend too much time on it, but Vanessa actually covered quite a number of them. And I should say that in the very first conversation, there was a lot of support for the ride connection service generally and TriMet as well. So I would certainly say to those two organizations that you're doing a great job. Some other specifics. Again, this idea of scheduling services to minimize wait time, whether it's pickup in vehicle or afterwards, is really key. There was an idea of a navigator concept, almost a one-to-one personal person, like a concierge, that could really help make people's lives better. And that's a matter of coordination between everybody. And of course, there's funding and volunteers needed to make that happen. The other idea, again, coming back to the users, is to include the users in all stages of the process. What we're doing today is tremendously important, as well as the CTP generally, but let's not forget and not wait three more years to have a group like this together. There's opportunities throughout the processes to bring the users throughout the planning. And I'd say also as a planner that we can't forget in any of the work we're doing, whether it's sidewalk development, that we need to include users from this varying ability group. For their input. As far as some of the technology, there was certainly an emphasis on making what we have work better. So whether that's ride matching or even some of the in-vehicle systems, but also looking for systems that will integrate across multiple providers and multiple agencies. Travel training was important. Sidewalks, especially during construction, both getting the word out that some of the sidewalks are being closed, as well as providing temporary sidewalks and some enforcement to make sure that the contractors are out there are making sure that those facilities are available. And I'd say there were two other phrases that came up that I thought were really helpful. One, which is getting it right the first time, and this goes across everything because a lot of times people can be very discouraged if their service is not what they need and they may not go for that. And then finally, this idea of no wrong door. So if somebody's looking for service, again, this is a coordination issue, it's an information technology issue, but no matter how people are looking to find services, to make sure that any of the ways they initially contact provides a link and a connection to ultimately them receiving that service. And I'll ask Pink anything else.
It was later in our conversation, but I want to stress being able right now, if you're on Medicaid, there's some services you can get, but if you're on Medicare, so those are our senior citizens, many of them low income. There are people maybe who have worked for a while and then become disabled, and a lot of the transportation links are not available for them. So making those available throughout our organization because they need it as much as the people on the Oregon Health Plan.
Thank you. Great, and sir, please. Here comes the microphone.
Just real quick, a lot of concerns about e-fare. The new TriMet system coming where you swipe your card and how that's going to work and the coordinating of a person has a bunch of cards in their wallet, which one, and then your train goes by and you're like frustrated because you can't catch your train. And then special events for disabled people, like Special Olympics, has their state games, and they have the Polar Plunge, and they have different events that are outside the regional area. And if we can partner with them, maybe people could be able to get there better, and they'd have to use less buses and all that. So just
thank you. Great. Everyone good? All right. Thank you, Zachary. Great. Well, that is it for the report back. So you guys have done an incredible job, and the discussion leaders were asked to summarize the one point. So thank you for doing that on your sheets, and we'll get that. Jake, I feel like you followed the directions to a T. Is there anything else your group would like to report that came up? Or okay, here, let me get the microphone to you. So you do have a couple more minutes. You are such a good soldier. Here you go. Get rewards.
Yeah. I just don't want to slight my group because there were a lot of really good ideas. Two that came to mind that came up were addressing accessibility of current stops as they are now, right now, the way that at least TriMet, with some of the way we decide where certain amenities like benches or shelters go can be often based on ridership largely, which is one consideration, but a great point was made that, well, maybe it doesn't have the ridership because it doesn't have the accessibility, so a little bit of chicken or the egg. So that was one point, and I would also say, let's see, there was one other major theme that just escaped my head, and that was, we talked a lot about infrastructure, including, yeah, sidewalks, and also street design was another point about streets that are designed for higher speeds, are often obviously a lot more dangerous, a lot more intimidating, especially for seniors and people with disabilities. So better street design that's more people-focused for lower speeds was another suggestion that came up. Anything else that you want to? I think we've got upwards of an hour to talk about this, guys.
Give me that mic back. All right. Well, thank you. I think our work is done, Chair Campbell and Alan. I think that I'll turn it back over to you. That was great report out. Susie, do you have another point? Oh, yeah, the comment forms. Yeah. So please, yeah, if you have completed your written comment forms, please go ahead and give that to your facilitator, or you can drop it in the comment form at the box where you registered. But thank you, everyone. Fabulous job. I would say give yourselves a hand because that is incredible work. Yeah.
For one more time for all of you who joined us, both for the committee members, who I thank every time and will continue to do so, and for those who don't normally come and were willing to spend a few hours with us and help us learn, we will do our best to pull all of these things together and represent these needs in the coordinated transportation plan. And we will all do our best to be innovative and smart about how we can start addressing these. And we've heard a couple of times support for the RTCC. We don't know exactly what that's going to look like or how to support it, but we'll talk about how we do that as well. So for those of you who don't want to stick around for the last little bit of the meeting, we're going to set you free in a minute, not quite yet. And I have a one or two other kind of housekeeping items, but we do need to say one thing about our esteemed chair here.
Yes, so we want to honor a very special person, the chair of the STFAC, Jan Campbell. She's been awarded by Governor Kate Brown and the Governor's Women's Commission for the Women's Achievement Award. So we'd like to give her a round of applause. And. And we just want to thank you for your leadership on this STFAC committee, and, as well as the CAT committee and beyond. You're a tremendous person, so thank you so much.
Thank you. It wouldn't happen without all of you. If I can just say it real quickly, I want to thank you all so much for your support. And there is going to be the award as well as a small reception in the governor's chambers on Wednesday. Some of you know about it, and it'll start at 3:00, and you're all invited. There are three other women also will be receiving it. So thank you so much.
Great. Now we got to press you back into being chair.
Okay.
We've got just a little bit of housekeeping to take care of here.
Right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to go into the committee nominations. And the process that I would like to do, if it's all right with you, is we do have a nomination committee. And it's made up of Claudia, who's not here today. She's ill, by the way, so she wanted to be here, but she decided not to bring it all to us. And Elaine. And Risa and John Betts, and John is not here. So what we would like to do, again, is that Hannah's going to read. We have four people, that three we've received application. Five we've received applications. So we have Andre, we have Anthony, and we have Mary Lou, and we have
Monica.
We have Monica.
Andrea. She's not here today.
Okay. So what we would like to do is read through these. The only person we have not gotten an application from yet is Monica because she just got this assignment. So we've asked her if she would say a few words. And then if the applicants would not mind stepping out just for a few minutes for discussion within the group. I know doing other groups, it's just a little easier to do that. And then we'll bring everybody back in for the vote. Does that sound okay with everybody? And also the nomination committee will then make a recommendation to the full group of the STFAC to vote. Do people feel comfortable with that?
And I'm gonna butt in while you're thinking. I put one thing in front of the other. So one is, those of you who joined us who are not on the committee, again, thank you, and you should feel free to leave at any point because you don't have to sit around for voting.
Oh, no.
Well, and,
again, we thank you very much for your time. Before you leave, though, make sure that we got your comment cards, that we've got whatever you wanted us to know.
Yes, and if you need to mail it in because you haven't finished filling it out, Anais is in the back putting the address on the board that you can mail it into if you need to do that.
Please instead just finish it because we know if you mean to mail it, it probably won't happen.
Right. And so
STFAC members cannot leave, though. I want to make sure.
I can't hear you.
Please.
Right. Well, wasn't everybody clear about that?
No, but I think. Right.
So just to clarify, you don't have to fill out the form if you talked in the group, but if there's anything you wanted to add, please leave your form behind so we capture that.
Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, and then we'll just take a minute or two for the hubbub to die down and then make sure we get back to the nominating committee.
People turning in.